Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
How much time do you spend thinking about what's on your feet? Well, it turns out people think a lot about their sneakers, and Greater Boston is increasingly a center of sneaker culture, with companies like ASICS, Saucony, and Puma joining long-timers New Balance, Converse, Reebok by setting up shop here in recent years. Of course, there's fashion, and then there's function. And with people kicking it in the 127th Boston Marathon today, we wondered how much both matter to serious runners. So we sat down last week with a runner, a coach, and a shoe designer to find out. Catherine Tolman is running her first marathon today. She's a realtor in Cambridge and a former track and field athlete at University of New Hampshire. Dan Fitzgerald is a Nike running coach and co-founder of the local Heartbreak Hill Running Company. And Brent James is senior product manager and designer at Tracksmith, a New England running apparel company. When we sat down, I started by asking, on the count of three, how important are running sneakers?
Very important.
All right, so let's run this down. I heard your voice first, Catherine. So how come?
They're what's on your feet carrying you through 26.2. They absorb it all first, give you the bounce back that you need, and they're everything.
So that sounds like both an equipment thing, but almost like a relationship thing, Catherine.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Dan, you laugh.
Yes, it's the most important relationship in a runner's life, other than obvious, you know, spouses, support systems, family. But the next most important one is the one where your body meets the road. So there's a lot of different factors that contribute to that, and they are really the only piece of necessary equipment, I would say, for most runners. Some people might even argue with that, but I'm a shoe guy, so I'm going to say you need the shoes.
So, Brent, I'm assuming you agree.
Well, yeah, I'm a shoe guy at heart as well. So totally agree that shoes and, you know, running footwear is a really important ingredient to your training and racing generally. And I think the more comfortable you are, the better you run, the better you perform.
All right. So one of the things that's been interesting in sort of getting ready to talk with the three of you is understanding kind of who runs. And that has changed, especially since the start of the pandemic. There's been this big running boom, 28.76, so almost 29%, which is pretty close to a third of runners started running during the pandemic, according to a survey of nearly 4,000 runners. And most of them aren't race runners, right? They're not doing it for the reasons that a lot of previous runners did it. It is because they were cooped up and they wanted to be more physically fit. So I guess, Dan, I'll start with you. When does a runner realize how important their feet and shoes are? Or do most runners not know that?
I think it can become more apparent the more running you do. You know, I think there are two things happening at once, right? I don't think it's when people say, like, what do I need to get running? And I'll say, nothing. Just get out and run. You don't need a coach. You just get out there and jog to your capacity. Keep it a little slower than you think, and that's all. I think ultimately a shoe should just sort of blend with your body. So that's, you know, in spite of all of the hype around types of shoes and fittings and all that, you know, when you're purchasing a shoe or looking for a new running shoe, in the end, you want it to just feel like it belongs there.
I'm going to lean into my silliness. And Catherine, I'll ask you this because you brought a pair of sneakers that are sitting on the table.
So this
is the reason I'm asking you this question, because I can see your shoes.
They're bright. They're
right
to miss.
Do runners just appreciate pure utility in a pair of shoes, or do they say, like, do you think about what they're going to say about you too, or is it purely utility in a pair of shoes that you
Yeah, pick? I mean, you want to look fly, of course. I mean, bright is what I went for, clearly. They're bright orange.
They're orange and green, a little bit of like that neon yellow in them.
Yep. So yeah, I think it's a little bit of a fashion statement for sure.
It can be.
Yeah.
Brent, do you think about that when you design a shoe?
Yeah, I think for me, a new goal for me when I design a shoe or create a shoe is for people to be excited to put them on and get out and run. I think that's the feeling that really gets you off the couch, that you're every morning you're waking up, it's dark outside, middle of the winter. I want the shoe to help influence you, help make you excited to get out there and run and feel good.
Absolutely, yeah.
The three of you, do each of you have some pair of shoes in your history that are like that pair of running shoes.
You're looking at them.
Nice. All right. So why these, Catherine?
They're bright. They're comfortable. They make me feel like I can run for 26.2 miles, hopefully. They're bouncy. I don't know. I just get excited putting them on. They're unlike any other shoe that I've ever had, and they just make me excited, like Brent was saying.
So what are they?
These are the Nike Vaporfly 2%.
All right, so now I have a couple of technical questions for you, and then Brent and Dan will talk about some of the technical of shoes in a second. So are you wearing these for the Boston Marathon on Monday?
I am.
Okay, so how much have you, I mean, they got to be in great shape for Monday. How much have you already worn them?
So I did one 10-mile run in them. I did my 20-miler in them. And then I just did a few track workouts, but I didn't want to do too much in them. I wanted to break them in a little bit, make sure they were a good fit, and I was confident in them, but... And I'm feeling confident in them, so I'm excited to wear them.
Dan, you were giving all these, like, thumbs-up signs about the amount that Catherine had worn them. Because you coach running, right?
So I do.
She gets the seal of approval for the quantity with which she has worn.
Big thumbs up for that,
excellent, excellent. But I want to go back to the love affairs, because Dan and Brent, you both, it sounds like, have that pair. Dan.
This is not the right answer for this. I know there are no right answers, but I wore, my first mile was in, the Air Jordan 7 Bordeaux's.
Which is not a running shoe.
Not a running shoe, but I had
those two.
Good. That was a, you know, the shoe I had when they were new. It was seventh or eighth grade. It was my first timed mile. So, you know, it was run around the cul-de-sac of, my middle school in Tewksbury, Massachusetts. And that was a very fly shoe at the time in my first pair of Jordans. And, not my fastest mile, but definitely my most fond memory of running a mile and shoes in particular.
So wait, though, why were you running a timed mile?
It's gym class. That's what we did. You did the assessment. I came in second to a gal in the grade below me for the school. So it suggested some running talent, but not quite where I'd hoped to be. And eventually I got faster. But that pair and that experience was sort of the beginning of a long sneaker love affair.
Was it also the beginning of your love of running?
Potentially. You know, running for me as an athlete is very different than running as a coach and my relationship to the sport now. So what made me love running as an athlete was winning. I coach about 700 or so marathoners in the Boston Marathon from various nonprofits and qualifiers. And my relationship to those athletes and to the race is really it's really powerful to see what they're running for who they're running for, those Jordans then and people now.
Which I think is a wonderful and refreshing maturity arc there for you, Dan. Good for you. All right, Brent, you've got a shoe love affair story?
Of course, yeah. So for me, it's so I'm a music guy too. I love music, any kind of music, I'm into it. But you know those songs that when you hear it on the radio, it reminds you of a moment in time?
Yes.
I have a closet full of songs that are in the form of shoes. So I just have a passion about, you know, where I got the shoes and where I was wearing them, you know, when I met my girlfriend and whatever grade it was. I just love the storytelling behind shoes, not just themselves as, you know, pieces of art or technology, but, you know, you have a relationship with them, as you mentioned earlier, and they kind of go along with you through your training or through your daily life. So that's how I think about shoes.
I'm increasingly understanding the deep relationship between runners and their shoes as we observe the Boston Marathon. We're here with Dan Fitzgerald of Heartbreak Hill Running Company, Brent James, who's a senior product manager with Tracksmith, and Catherine Tolman, who is running her first Boston Marathon. There are so many places that I want to go, and we're going to go all of those places. I want to go to the technology of the shoes now, because Catherine, you said this is that pair of shoes for you. And you talked about them making you feel like you can run a marathon. Mm-hmm. And you used words like bouncy. Use a couple of other words about why they make you feel like you can run a marathon.
They kind of have a sock feel to them. I feel like they grip my foot in all the right places. Like, they don't feel like I'm putting on a shoe almost. But then when I go out and run, it feels like I am wearing a shoe. And it's giving me that extra, like, boost and bounciness and kind of just like taking a little bit of the load off my legs and absorbing some of that through the shoe.
Now, I know that there's technology behind all of that, but I want to note real quick, you ran at UNH, and you ran distances, but not marathon distances.
Correct.
So is there something different about the feel for your experienced feet and legs, right, and distances, but shorter distances than this? Is there something different about the feel of these shoes than a pair of shoes you would have worn for the events you ran at UNH?
Yeah, I mean, for these ones, I feel like they'll really give me that extra boost in the later miles when my legs are killing me, whereas a sprinting shoe is kind of more propelling me forward and pushing me forward so I can sprint.
All right, so now, Dan and Brent, this is where I need you to break it down, not only for me who is here in patent leather sandals, right, not running shoes, but for listeners, too, who don't know this. So there are things like bounce and lightness. And so, Dan, let me start with you as a running coach. What are the layperson's terms for the types of technologies we're looking for in a running shoe?
So it's usually like softness, cushion, and potentially some stabilizing or stiffening features. And that's about it, you know, in the
softness,
case.
Softness, cushion, stabilization.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So most people are going to fall into people who just want a cushion underfoot, and some people who, in addition to a cushion, want a little bit of guidance. And that's really about the extent of the official guidance I like to give in the context of even selling a shoe, because I'd like to bring out shoes in those respective categories, have people run outside and see, again, which one fits and feels most comfortable on their foot and let their body decide. When it comes to something like the racing shoe, this is the name is a major mouthful, the Nike ZoomX Vaporfly Next Percent 2. what makes the racing shoes different and unique is that bounciness that Catherine is talking about is specifically related to that ZoomX foam, and that is just like a propulsive foam that also doesn't last very long. So Catherine's use of these shoes over just a few miles, a few tests, making sure they work and that they're going to be great, and then kind of putting them on ice is highly purposeful, in particular as it relates to the newest racing shoes, because in spite of the fact that they're probably the most expensive shoes on most running stores' walls, they don't last very long. And there's also the addition of a carbon fiber plate inside there. So there's a serious level of efficiency where Catherine mentioned she was a sprinter and the past where those shoes are designed to be stiff and supply the most power from your legs into the track.
So Brent, now take us into, you know, things like carbon fiber and 4% and how you and then we're also talking about shoes that speak to your heart and they speak to your head and they help you race and then they go in your closet and they become a song for you and yet next year somebody's going to come out with some more. I mean, oh my gosh, that's a lot. And how does that all work together? And who's doing these technological developments?
Generally, I think the marketplace today is looking to add those percentage points of efficiency over the course of your race. One thing that I think we haven't touched on quite yet is that each runner is different. So while that shoe may work really well for somebody, it may not work as well for a different runner. And I think that's where there's a bit more of space for brands to have their own interpretation of these different technologies and how those things come together.
So talk about that. What is different? Is it the foot? Is it the shape of the foot? The running stride? The age of the body? Talk about that a little bit.
It's all of the above, really. I think Dan talked a little bit about comfort generally. So I think even two people who are identical twins might have different preferences or different things that make them feel comfortable or confident. So I think it's a combination of your anatomy, how your body works, and, you know, some psychology as well, you know, how you feel in a certain softness of shoe or a shoe that's more firm. I think there are some preferences that also will lead you to the right shoe.
All right. Now, I want to talk about the marathon for a couple of minutes, and we will start. And Dan, you teased this a little bit for us. Catherine, I want to start with why you're running. Tell us.
So in January of 2022, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. She's in a phase one research trial at MGH, and she's seen incredible results. Everyone there has been amazing. So me and my sister were sitting on the beach this past summer, and we were like, how can we give back? And ultimately, we decided that we were going to run the marathon, and what better place to run for than the place that my mom worked at for 30 years and is giving my mom and our family so much hope and love. So I'm running for MGH pediatric cancer, where you raised over $22,000 and
beautiful.
Yeah.
What did your mom do at MGH?
She was a nurse practitioner.
And will she be somewhere along the course?
Of course. Yeah. She's got like four spots she's going to be at. So.
And in general, why do you run?
It gets me up in the morning. I'm excited to do it. It clears my mind. It's my therapy. I do it with my sister, my best friend from college. And it's time to catch up and just kind of put everything to the side.
And Dan, you coach teams to the marathon. Now, it's also part of your business model with Heart Hill Running Company is to coach people for running at different levels. But it sounds to me like there's something in particular. It's the Boston Marathon, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is meaningful to you about coaching people to run this marathon?
It's stories like Catherine's. You know, Catherine is a former Division I athlete, so maybe she's not learning quite as much about her capacity because she's pushed it other ways. But there are so many stories for every runner in the Boston Marathon. There's an individual story related to what brought them there. To be able to hear those stories and be trusted with those stories and sort of give a positive outlet makes it an incredibly meaningful thing for me personally. So it's just incredibly satisfying to stand there at mile 20 where our shop is and high five them and look for them all day long. So it's definitely the highlight of my year and really career.
So Brent, I'll end with you. We've talked about the personal meaning of it. Part of what makes the Boston Marathon special is the traditions of it. And I understand that you've just designed a shoe to pay homage to a particular tradition around the Boston Marathon. So tell me about this new shoe from Tracksmith.
Yeah, so it's the Elliott Runner. Came out, you know, I guess about a little over six months ago. So far, we had a great reception to the shoe and kind of the experience that it delivers to runners. And the name, I guess maybe you're alluding to the name.
I am.
So there was a famous lounge called the Elliott Lounge, where a lot of big runners used to meet during and after the Boston Marathon. So the aesthetic of that lounge, the culture of that lounge, I think has helped to inspire Tracksmith generally as a brand. And the name in this case is kind of in homage to that place.
Famous bar where people could go right after they finished running, get a beer and congratulations for having, and then, yes, we get the irony, get a beer and congratulations for having finished the race and sort of have this sense of community and congratulations together for a shared accomplishment. Well, I've learned a ton. I will never look at anybody running differently now because the first thing I'll do is look at their feet, which I never would have before. Brent James, shoe designer by trade and the senior product manager and designer at Tracksmith, which is a New England running and apparel company. Dan Fitzgerald, who is a Nike running coach and the owner of the Heartbreak Hill Running Company. And Catherine Tolman, a real estate agent and a track and field athlete running her first marathon. And on behalf of your mom, good luck.
Thank you.
And thanks to all three of you.
Thanks for having us.
Great. Thank you.